changed again, somewhat brighter than before, and the crowd fancied that it had showed a certain mistiness around the altar stone and the distant height. The whippoorwills continued their irregular pulsation, and the men of Dunnage braced themselves tensely against some imponderable menace with which the atmosphere seemed surcharged. Without warning came those deep, cracked, raucous vocal sounds which will never leave the memory of the stricken group who heard them. Not from the human throat they born, for the organs of man can yield no such acoustic perversions. Rather would one have said that they came from the pit itself, had not their source been so unmistakably the altar stone on a peak. It is almost erroneous to call them sounds at all, since so much of their ghastly infra-braced timbre spoke to dim seats of consciousness and terror far subtler than the air. Yet one must do so, since the throne was indisputably their vaguely that of half-articulate words. Very loud, loud as the rumblings and thundering about which they echoed, yet did they come from no visible being. And because imagination might suggest a conjectural source in a world of non-visible beings, the huddled crowd at the mountain's base huddled still closer, and winced, as if in expectation of a blow.
Thank you.